give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Freedom ships. The savage winds from Hurricane Wilma were finally subsiding as the storm careened into the ocean, open Atlantic. This dangerous cyclone had pummeled Florida on October 24th, 2005, leaving a gaping exit wound across our southeastern coast. But our injuries were not comparable to the devastation Wilma had wrought on the tropical gem of Cozumel and Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula just 4 days earlier. As I lay in the warmth of my bed, listening to the banging of the shutters, the creaking roof, and the driving rain that sought to breach the safety of our home, I remembered. How could I ever forget? Was it only 1 week ago, on our wedding anniversary, on October 14th, 2005, that I'd written this touching testimony? After enjoying the midnight buffet, dancing and music until we were exhausted, the intrusion of the ship's PA sputtered into life into our darkened room while we were still sleeping. It irritated me, even though it was already 9 a.m. My dear wife Lynn and I were on our anniversary cruise, and I reasoned that we had earned the right to sleep in one day while on vacation from the busy adoption agency that we served in. But the message blared on to alert the entire crew and passengers about the reason why the enormous Conquest-class luxury superliner, the Carnival Glory, had shut down main propulsion and glided to a quiet stop from her normal cruising speed of 21 knots. We threw on our clothes and then ran to the starboard open deck number 7 at the bow of the ship, where 7 of our fellow cruisers had already gathered. The tropical sunlight was very brilliant, and it was igniting the ocean into a sparkling tanzanite blue, which was framed by long rows of white puffy clouds that adorned the horizon in the distance. And we looked to the east, and we were greeted by a fresh 15-knot tropical breeze all the way from Africa, which was stirring up choppy waves, decorated with the occasional white cap. Even the enormous resting cruise ship began to bob ever so slightly through the action of these large 6 to 7 foot cresting swells. Moments later, while on our northern return through the Caribbean after enjoying a day on the beautiful paradise island of Cozumel, we were passing through the straits between Cuba to the east and the Yucatan Peninsula to the west. The captain had spotted a small homemade raft. It was comprised of rough-hewn logs and a small white triangular sail made from a sheet with a black circle in the middle. Her unprotected surface was being constantly awash by the salty spray plus the splash of these breaking seas, and the vessel was pitching and rolling and yawning in the cresting waves. The raft's open and 8-foot, 12-foot deck. Wooden deck didn't stand a chance. It didn't have a protected rail, and it was crowded with 6 adult males who were courageously attempting to escape from Cuban tyranny to American freedom. This fragile craft precariously floated the better part of 80 feet below our observation deck. The tragic irony of the drastic contrast between our two vessels could not be lost to any observer. The Glory was a massive new ship of over 110,000 tons and the largest of the mega cruisers. An impressive 952 feet in length, 116 feet in width, over 14 stories high. It had been engineered to barely squeeze through the Panama Canal. And it had cost over $500 million to construct. It was virtually a floating city. 5,000 passengers and crew lived in complete comfort during the voyage, with individually controlled air conditioning, multiple swimming pools, complete with a four-story high water slide, and 13,300 square foot full salon with an extensive gymnasium. And while several bands and musicians were simultaneously playing within the honeycombed decks of the ship, some people enjoyed losing or making money at the busy casino, vacationing, workaholics satisfied their addiction while on vacation at the full access internet cafe, and others grilled themselves under the tropical sun by flipping their buddy bodies white by putting on suntan lotion, and they were on deck chairs going back and forth under the tropical sun until they looked like broiled lobsters. And everyone enjoyed the lavish Las Vegas style shows, the lounges, the bars, and delighted in the gourmet food being served in the 22 dining rooms. This exquisite cuisine was of such fabulous quality and such monumental quantity that it would make even an ancient barbarian emperor sick with jealousy. Cruising is the very definition of the unparalleled freedom, the rich opportunities, and the manifest blessing of God, even to the point of decadence that we enjoy in America. And then looking down and back at that pitiful log raft that these refugees had constructed to transport them to liberty, it literally brought me to tears. There is an ancient mariner's code, honored before written memory, respected rules of the sea that are indelibly engraved in naval tradition and rigorously followed by all who make the ocean their home and their career. Accordingly, Captain Francesco Lafuji graciously offered refuge on the Glory and safe passage to America to the beleaguered sailors who had previously been fighting the wild ocean's power for three long days and dark nights. But we all witnessed their stout refusal to compromise their principles for the safety or exchange their dreams for mere creature comfort. They knew that if they gave in to their humanity or the elements, once they arrived in America, the land of the free and the brave, the U.S. Immigration Service, by the notorious Dryfoot Law, would force them to return to Cuba. And they would have to face the vindictive wrath of their communist government. The staunch endurance of these Cuban refugees was the measure of their courage and commitment to freedom. We honored the depth of their determination to find a new life with potential and possibilities that were being prohibited by the totalitarian dictatorship that had been holding their native land in captivity for 44 endless years. All the captain and crew could do was to provide them water and blankets and food and life vests, and then helplessly watch them drift away to the west, pressed on by the east wind, their flapping useless sail aloft to the stiff breeze. All we could do was fondly wave to them, wishing them Godspeed, and urgently pray to the Lord for their safety. The nearest land was the Mexican coast, over 70 miles to the west. But America lay much farther to the north, far past the horizon of prudence or probability, due to the contrary winds and waves, not to mention the operational limitations of such a crude platform, not designed for the rigors of the surging seas. The nine of us on that deck were openly crying as the raft drifted farther and farther away from the Glory. And we imagined what terrible trials they were yet to endure in their fight and flight to freedom. The enormous energy of Glory's six diesel turbine engines was released as giant propellers with 84,933 horsepower began to slice salt water and generating a giant milky foam wake. And soon our ship began to once again gain forward momentum to the freedom of the North. Their wooden craft appeared ridiculously tiny upon the vast blue of the unending ocean as it careened up and down on the face of each wave. What desperation drove them to attempt such a dangerous journey? We intently looked, staring at this human tragedy until we lost sight of the refugees between sea swells in the morning reflection of the sun's rays. The human grapevine and scuttlebutt were invented by mariners. The rumor mill, designed to bring all crew and passengers up to speed on the latest and greatest events on board, was perfected by communities living at sea. The whole ship company was talking about the refugees, their plight, their chances of survival, and what we should have done or could have done to help them. Later that evening, during a formal reception, Captain Lafuji, who had been commanding the Carnival ships since 1982, he explained with obvious compassion and concern that the refugees' maritime law prevented the crew from forcing these humans to come to safety. He then asked for God's mercy upon them. My broken sleep that night was filled with thoughts of dark floods of water sweeping all life from a slippery, sloping deck. And I prayed that God would spare their lives. Deja vu! The next morning, just after 9, the PA blared out a similar message that more refugees had been spotted in a small boat on the port side, but in gentler seas with only 4-foot waves. The ship stopped, and I left my room and saw that my neighbor across the hall in the beautiful upscale balcony room had his door opened. He waved at me to join him and his wife and witness the drama unfolding just below his open deck. 6 more adult males with brand new orange life vests were crowded onto a 16-foot aluminum rowboat with a tiny Suzuki outboard motor. The boat was painted a non-reflective brown. The passengers had initially lain down in the bottom of the boat to apparently avoid detection, and they had a large blue plastic jug in the front, presumably for water. They were all frantically bailing water out of their boat with little tin cups, but each unending wave made a deposit towards their destruction. I glanced from the open balcony immediately to my right and up to the next floor, where I noticed that the command center bridge of the ship jutted out merely 30 feet away from my position. I was startled to see none other than Captain Lafuji and the cruise director, Sean Boosey, and they were looking at me through their full-length windows. The captain had skillfully maneuvered the Glory with precision to place the small craft near the deck zero companionway, and he once again offered assistance, transport, and supplies. But the little crew absolutely rejected any offer of help other than taking directions to Key West that lay approximately 35 miles to the northwest. They started their engine, and the pathetic putt-putt was mostly blown away by the gentle breeze before even reaching our 7th-story balcony. The captain stoically stood with his hands behind his back and his head down with a dismayed frown as he shook his head just ever so slightly, and similarly, Miss Boosie's sad face filled with obvious emotion. I could see it from the balcony. And as the refugees steered past the crowded port side, all the passengers and the crew began to loudly clap, and they heard them say, "God bless you, safe journeys, see you in America." And as they pulled underneath the captain's deck and then around the bow of the Glory, my hosts were wiping away tears and saying, "God save them." We all agreed that all of our problems were indeed trivial, and that we should be grateful to God for allowing us to live in the United States of America. Lynn and I went up higher to the Lido deck to watch the skiff heading towards their dream until they were out of sight. But the excellent food that was served for us for breakfast that actually had no taste or appeal? Was it my imagination, or was it that there was a whitewashed lighthouse that merely touched both the sea and the sky at the edge of sight? Perhaps that was Fort Jefferson on the Dry Tortugas, and the promise perhaps of security for these dear, brave refugees. Today, October 14th, 2005, is the celebration of our fourth wedding anniversary. And yet we would have gladly sacrificed this wonderful cruise if it could have assisted just one of these freedom ships to arrive at a port of peace. Almighty God, please answer their faith with the blessings of freedom and honor their courage with safe passage to a new home with liberty. I wrote this on that day, October 14th, 2005, and after writing it, this tribute, on the last day of our cruise, I decided to give it to Captain LaFuji since he was involved. I trotted down to the purser's desk and made two copies of this writing, and the attendant promised to place one in the captain's mail. Now, you never really expect to see God or the captain on a cruise ship face to face in person, but although you know both exist and both are in control of your destiny, 3 or 4 minutes after leaving this article in the captain's box with the purser, we went up to the open stern Lido deck, wandering about our floating city. Suddenly, my darling wife says, "Oh my gosh, there is the captain. He's playing with his daughter. He's by the pool." Well, the pool was all tied up and there was no water in it, but it was sloshing around. So my wife says, "Go give him the writing." So I went over to the captain and stopped, and I gave him the writing. And then he started to talk to me with sad eyes about the low probability they had for survival. And he reiterated that he was not able to force him to come to safety, even to save their lives. He was so sad. And we thanked him for his compassion. We thanked him for his humanity. As he was talking about this event, he was concerned about Wilma. Apparently, it was the lowest barometric pressure that had ever been recorded, and it was following the ship. He said, "Very rarely that this ever happens." And so I started to ask so many people. I asked the stewards and the other officers and the other experienced cruise members, and everyone agreed that they had never, not once, had a cruise ship stop to attempt to pick up small crafts on the open ocean. Certainly not twice. The coincidence of these twin occurrences at the exact same time in a day, 2 days in a row, is beyond calculation. I can't imagine how that worked. But then life is strange, and you can't explain it. Early the next morning, we disembarked from the luxury of our freedom ship at the Port Canaveral, and we turned to the madness of our modern-day existence by turning on our cell phones. The first of many messages for Hope for Families Adoption Agency, our busy agency, was from a couple living 150 miles to the south in Fort Lauderdale. They were urgently begging us to assist them to adopt a child. So Lynn and I just nodded at each other. Then we left the port, and without even going home, we drove directly to help this dear couple achieve their dream of a family. Throughout this adoption home study interview, I could not escape the sad feelings that clung to me as the picture of those two small freedom ships trying to get free from Cuba just haunted my memory. We even told this adoptive couple about the wonderful Carnival cruise that we had, and as an illustration of my writing style, since I was writing their report, I read them this tribute about these Cuban heroes and their struggle for freedom. As I read it, suddenly the husband broke down and started to cry. He was wiping away his tears from his sleeve. He related the story of how his father had escaped from Cuba in a small boat, and he brought all but two of his children to America. The father later chartered another vessel and captain to go back to Cuba to rescue his two remaining sons. After several weeks, he heard in horror the news that the boat that he had hired sunk during the return voyage from Cuba, drowning all of the American-bound refugees it had picked up. My client's father believed that he had just killed his own two sons. Actually, his boys had missed the boat because their bus in Cuba had broken down and they had been able to see in the distance their passport to freedom, that little boat, sail out of the dock and over the horizon. They were terribly upset, believing that they had missed their only opportunity for freedom. But God had a different and better plan. My little story awakened the pain and gratitude of God for my newfound friend, who had been given the privilege of U.S. citizenship years later. We all pondered, what are the astronomical chances of such a combined experience intermeshing, and for what divine purposes? How was it possible that we are on this cruise ship seeing two of these Cuban refugee boats that apparently sunk, and then going to a couple to do a home study, and he had that same experience? It was incredible. God put this all together. And later that night, finally, as we drove home, we drove for two more long hours heading home before crashing into our beds at 1 a.m. Despite our tiredness and in the tyranny of the habits, we foolishly turned on CNN to put us to sleep. Hurricane Wilma had just been named and was now growing into a monstrous, disastrous storm with the lowest barometric pressure ever recorded in the Atlantic Ocean. It was churning up the Caribbean from the beginning to cruelly lash Cozumel, right where we just came from. And now it was crashing towards the region where our cruise ship had just seen those two crowded freedom ships from Cuba bobbing on the open ocean. Now that was just too much for me. And I switched off the TV, and I finally fell into a fretful sleep while searching my heart for the price that I was willing to pay and the gratitude that I should display to God for his manifold blessings of political and spiritual freedom that I enjoyed. I hope that you take this to heart and thank God for your country and for the freedoms that God has given you, and pray for so many others that are so disadvantaged and do not share in these blessings. If you enjoy this story, go on Spotify or Taking TV or on our YouTube channel, Hopecast, to hear more. May God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into Hopecast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our Hopecasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?